You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 158, Casper. These are our questions for J.J. Abrams. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. And today we are going to be going in between.
It's a stretch.
We're going to make it work, though. This is going to be our Halloween spooktacular episode. the Thunder Tube. It's back. My name is Chelsea Robson, and I am with my fantastic co-host, Morgan Stradling.
The friendliest co-host around.
I'll take that for sure. So basically, what is the Rotoscopers? Is if this is your very first episode that you've ever listened to, basically what we do is we take an older movie or a newer movie, whichever one strikes our fancy, and then we just kind of dissect it. We go through, we talk about it, we geek out, and we just have a good old time doing it. So we're glad to have you on this spooktacular episode.
Welcome.
Also wanted to say shout out to, we have a new patron this week, Morgan.
Whoop whoop.
To Esther Rosenfeld. And she has been around for a while. I remember lots of different voicemails from Esther.
Esther's awesome.
So I'm
welcome to Roto Nation.
Welcome to the Roto Nation.
Speaking of Roto Nation, that is our private Facebook group of all the patrons $5 and up. And they were the ones who got to choose this film, which was really exciting. So I wanted to give them the option to choose because, you know, we have to do our annual Halloween episode.
Right, right.
And so I wanted, obviously that's perk of being a patron is they got to pick the movie. So I did a poll and I put a various animated scary movies that we have not reviewed yet,
right.
Obviously. We can't do Nightmare Before Christmas because we've already done that. We could do that for a Roto Rewatch, which is a patron perk, but not for this one. And as a joke, I just put The Return of Jafar in there. And I purposely labeled the poll scary movie poll instead of like spooky movie poll or
right.
Halloween movie poll because I wanted to slip that in there. It actually got a vote or two,
it
which
did.
Is not bad.
It was like, wasn't it like five votes?
No.
What was, okay. But people laughed. Like, that was the best part in the comments.
I also put Casper on there because I was thinking about it, and it's not an animated film per se. It's a live action CGI hybrid, but this mm-hmm. actually is very notable where it's the first film to have a fully animated lead character.
Ah.
And multiple characters, actually. So, I mean, we got it. And hey, I put that out there. I said, hey, it counts, kind of. And I let the patrons vote, and they ultimately voted Casper, which I was really excited for.
I was so excited.
Even when the poll closed, I started watching the movie just to get ready for this.
For 100 years, he has wandered the halls of Whipstaff Manor.
Wow.
Waiting for someone.
There's a girl on my bed. Yes! Hi.
Casper.
Can you go invisible? That one's easy.
Now, life at Whipstaff Manor.
Can I keep you?
Will never be the same.
Cool.
Ghosts can't hurt you.
Get, bone bag!
Don't come near me, you spiteful spook!
We share haunting stories, we throw parties!
Boom!
Parties are always pretty dead, though.
I feel like Oprah on hiatus.
Boom! Take a hike!
Get a grade.
Yeah.
Dad?
All for one and one for all.
Catch your pants before they fall.
You guys are disgusting, obnoxious creeps.
Thank you.
Universal Pictures and Avalon Entertainment.
Are we scary or what?
Invite you on a wild, wondrous ride.
Hurry up, come on!
To the other side.
Sorry.
So many 90s goodness out of this.
Wow, this film is very much a throwback to the 90s.
Oh my gosh, yes. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So some general information about Casper before we get started on our discussion. The studio was Amblin Entertainment in association with the Harvey Entertainment Company. The director was Brad Silberling. The release date was May 26, 1995.
That's so interesting. Why was this a summer release?
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, summers are the blockbuster. You're going to get more bang for your buck. But I agree. I feel like this was primed to be a September-October release.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was still around for that time, so maybe they're hoping for like the long.
It's going to be so good by the time September, October rolls around. It's still chugging along.
Well, it did do awesome.
It did very, very well. Budget was $55 million. Domestically did just over $100 million, and its worldwide cum was $287.9 million, which that is great. This was a fantastic film. I'm surprised we didn't get a sequel. We did get sequels. Isn't there like a sequel to this?
It's a direct.
But yeah. I'm surprised we didn't get one that was like the Casper 2.
Right, right. Well, they wanted to, but they couldn't get the cast. Yeah, the cast. Christina Ricci, I watched a behind the scenes with her as she was talking about it. And she's like, yeah, I want to step away from Casper. Okay, Christina.
Yeah, I mean, she's a very prominent actress, and definitely during this time period, I considered her like the 90s alternative it girl.
Yeah, the alternative it girl.
So, you know, she was one of the main cool teenage actresses at the time, but she wasn't like the blonde babe.
Right.
She was like the alternative, like edgy version.
Right.
You know, because she was in Addams Family, you know, and she's brunette, I guess, and she has big eyes and... Yeah, so she's alternative for that reason.
Yeah, dark hair, therefore. Yes. Very alternative. I just remember my brother had a big crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, oh my gosh, Christina Ricci. I'm like, okay. And also, I wanted to make note that the music in this was by the amazing James Horner. It wouldn't have been a 90s Amblimation
right?
movie.
It was almost in Amblimation's contract that they had to get, or not Amblimation, but Amblin Entertainment, that you need to have James Horner do your score.
Right.
And the music is quite good. I remember thinking as I was watching it, the motifs and the different musical cues and whatnot definitely stand out to me, where it's very memorable score, at least. Maybe this is nostalgia talking.
Maybe, but I still think it's just, I think so many of James Horner's are so, just the motifs, like you said, just stand out. Mm-hmm. And he just did such an amazing job. Rest in peace, James Horner. Oh, that was a sad day. But I was thinking, you know, it wouldn't be the 90s without the James Horner soundtrack.
Yes.
But it also wouldn't be the 90s without the Ben Stein playing the extremely boring professor / lawyer in this case type.
Yes, I know. I saw him and I'm like, oh my gosh, here you are being very boring, reading a will.
Is he back? Like, where is he these days? I really want him to come back.
I don't know.
Back.
It's not the 90s.
I know. Also, wouldn't be the 90s without the tabloid show, The Hard Copy. I just remember that being like, doo, 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 like the theme song for that one in my head. And then so many cameos.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Some notable ones that they were looking at is Dan Aykroyd, as he comes in and is like, who are you going to call? Someone else.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Well,
reference.
Of course. I mean, I'm glad they brought that little reference in there because it's like, okay, obviously you have a ghost.
Right.
Who are you going to call?
There was that one mirror scene that had a lot of cameos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield. The big guy. And then Mel Gibson. Hey.
Yep.
Clint Eastwood.
Steven Spielberg was supposed to be in that little scene.
That's true.
But it was cut for pacing, which I'm like, was it really that long? But I guess we got the joke. You can transform into other people and things, and
right.
There are people we actually know.
Huh. Oh, the Tales from the Crypt dude thing Did you ever watch that show?
No.
Oh, well, that was there. That was a 90s thing.
Sweet cameo. Yep. So before we go into this, obviously this film is based on the property Casper, the Friendly Ghost, which was a very, very popular cartoon.
And comic strip put together by the Harvey Company.
Yes. Harvey Entertainment was acquired by Classic Media in 2001. And Classic Media was, we talked about previously, the purchased VeggieTales franchise. So Classic Media, by their name, were like, we're just going to swipe up all these old properties and, you know, live off the residuals and then build new things off of them. But 2012, and then in 2012, Classic Media was purchased by DreamWorks. So technically, not this movie, but this character, Casper the Friendly Ghost, is a DreamWorks property. And it's interesting because DreamWorks brought that and we assumed, oh, wow, they're going to use all these old characters. Mm-hmm. You know, they have all the rights to these characters and now they're going to make so many movies with them. And we have not really seen that come to pass. It's been about 5 years. So you would start to think, okay, we're going to start to see some of these characters and movies come out, but we really haven't seen it. And I haven't really seen much with DreamWorks doing anything with the Classic Media character.
Yeah, they really haven't. You know. I think the biggest thing that they've done is Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they really haven't done much.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on, DreamWorks. Well, which is now Comcast. So come on, Comcast.
Yeah. So Casper, he's also known as Casper the Friendly Ghost. Like you said, there was a comic, there was TV series, there's also various films that came out. Casper and Wendy was one of the films that we could have reviewed. I was looking at, I thought, oh, maybe it's just a little short. No, it's a full movie. Mm-hmm. So, and other than that, I'm not a big Casper fan. I don't have a lot of history with Casper, so I'm not going to go into it because, as we learned with my VeggieTales episode, it's most likely going to be speculation anyway and be wrong. So
I do remember
there you
watching
go, Casper. He existed.
He existed, and now he's owned by Comcast.
Yes.
You know, it was. I do remember watching some of these cartoons as a kid, but it wasn't something, so it's like I knew who Casper was, but it really wasn't until this movie that I became a Casper fan.
Oh, and were you a Casper fan because of, he was so dreamy when he turned into a boy?
Yes, he was, yes.
If you were a girl in the 90s, that wasn't something that like was
that
talked
was
about.
That
yes,
was
I told that to my husband and he was like, I'm like, don't you remember when all the girls were like swoon over Casper in his human form? And he's like, what are you talking about?
No, it was like him and JTT. That was like the two
Even
of the
Even though
time.
He didn't really go anywhere after that, it was just like, oh, he's so dreamy. And I was looking at him in that scene.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh.
I know.
You're just a little boy. Like, what the?
The thing is, he was 17 when he did that movie. And I'm looking at him and I always thought he was so much older. Or no, I always thought he was so much younger, like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Like, because that's how old it seemed in, like, when he's telling his story is like, oh, when I was this old, I went and did this and I got sick, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, so he's 12 years old and now he's going to a junior high dance, but he's like,
wait, so
know.
The actor was 17?
The actor was 17. No, the actor was 17.
But not necessarily Casper.
No, not Casper. Yeah. But the actor
Casper's very young.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
But I'm bringing that up because I'm saying, oh my gosh, this character was like had a baby face for a long time.
Hey, that is great.
That's
in
fantastic.
Okay?
Yeah.
And like so, in Mean Girls, a lot of the main characters in Mean Girls were in their 20s, you know, playing high schoolers. And that's very common for people in their 20s to play high schoolers.
Yeah.
It works better, I think. But
yeah, they don't have to pay as many dues.
Yeah.
I remember the very end scene. It was like, every now and then. And he's like walking down his staircase moment. Oh, good times. We'll get there.
So that's Casper. He, in this movie, he's a ghost. And in outside of the movie, he's still a ghost.
He's still a ghost.
But this is actually interesting because we get to hear a little bit more of his backstory. And it's a little darker than previously had been depicted. I don't think they really went into Casper's backstory what I'd read in the...
Well, no, because here's what happened is there were some times where he had a backstory, mm-hmm. but generally that backstory, he was like an 8-year-old, yep. but this time they moved him up to 12. But then there are other backstories where it's like, no, he was born a ghost to yes. ghost parents. Yes. I'm like, what? Okay, there you go. Nice. So I'm glad that they stuck with the, okay, no, he actually just died super young. Mm-hmm. Like that makes a whole lot more sense.
And, you know, it's very interesting because as I was watching this, I'm like, okay, he doesn't really look like his human counterpart.
No.
You know, and then when these other characters turn to ghosts, like Carrington and the dad, uh-huh. like it's very obvious who they are. And so then I'm sitting here, I'm looking at the uncles and I'm like, okay, I can kind of see what you would have looked like, but you're so caricaturized that clearly that's not what a human would look right. like. Or if they somehow turned into humans,
right.
it wouldn't quite match. And so it was just interesting, like the different play. Like the ghosts were super cartoony if they started out as ghosts. But if you were a human that turned into a ghost, they made it a little more very real to form.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that just comes with age as being a ghost. You know, he's been wandering this castle mansion for the last 100 years. And so he, instead of becoming... more, he becomes more nebulized. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's interesting because he's very young. You know, even before we hear his backstory, it's just very obvious that he's just a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't quite matured yet. You know, he gets kind of possessive over Kat. Like, can I keep you?
Right.
And, like, that's supposed to be endearing and cute. But then it's like, when you think about it, it's like, oh, that's...
this ghost really wants it.
He wants... Yeah.
Let's not think about
it. He's ghosting over her. And he's haunting her. It's like your little personal demon. It's kind of creepy. I'm not a fan. And I could see why that, like, when that was written, it was like, oh, supposed to be such a tender moment. But he's little
yeah.
at the same time. So I feel like the actions don't quite add up because he's very immature in a way and, like, clearly still a little kid.
Right.
And then he has, like, these different moments where he's supposed to be a little older.
Like, ghost Casper is, like, 8 years old.
Yes. But anytime that he has, like, a romantic relationship with Kat or it's expressing those feelings or we're supposed to realize that he's liking Kat, it just doesn't match with the character to
yeah.
me. Because suddenly it's like, but it's just a little boy crush. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's weird.
So let's talk about Kat, played by Christina Ricci. And so, well, before let's talk about her, let's set up the premise with Carrington. So this whole thing gets set off because Carrington, her dad... died, and he's very, very wealthy and has millions and millions of dollars, majority of which he is donating to different animal charities and causes.
Right.
And so she's like, ah, hurry up. And this is where, you know, Ben Stein is just reading the will very poorly. And he's her lawyer, actually, which was interesting because when I went through and I read the synopsis after, when I first saw it, for some reason I thought that was
the dad's lawyer,
just uh-huh. like the intermediary person who reads the will, but that really wasn't the case. He's her lawyer, and the other guy
she needs to find another lawyer.
Is like her assistant.
Uh-huh.
So it's interesting. But he finally, you know, cuts the chase, gets to the point, and all that she has inherited, no money, you know, the Beagle Foundation gets more than her. She gets this manor.
Okay, here's my question. I'm going to start out because I've got lots of questions about this movie. First off, if she is the one inheriting this manor, does that mean that she and Casper are somehow related?
Not necessarily. The dad could have purchased the property at any point in time.
It's true, because it was kind of condemned, I guess, after.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and
the incident.
Well, he's like, this is not something you want because it's just a piece of crap. But except when you go there, it's quite nice.
It's amazing.
I mean, other than the fact that it's totally haunted.
Well, yeah.
But
ghosts or not,
I would love to live there. That is a great manor. Yes. I mean, we can figure out the ghost problem.
It was up to date enough. The fact that it had all of these, like, breaker system and lighting, you know.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
It's not like this was like 1800s, people.
No.
Like, this is like good lighting and like the ceiling that like swirls mm-hmm. and everything on top and then the bottom. Oh my gosh. Mm. Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, if anything.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Just do a good old fixer-upper.
Just dust.
Flip it and send it on its way. But unfortunately, there's a problem. You can't just do that. You can't even go in because there's a ghost problem.
Well, yeah.
And that has to do with the three ghosts who have haunted this. Casper, not so much. Anyone who comes in, he just tries to say hi and be their friend.
Mm-hmm.
But so this is how Kat and her dad, Dr. Harvey, come along. Where Dr. Harvey, Carrington, is watching TV. She's tried everything to get rid of this. Nothing has worked. And he is different in the fact that he's kind of the psychologist shrink who talks to ghosts.
Right.
And talks to ghosts on the other side. Now, that's great, except
My
for
Harvey.
We realize that he's a total hack.
Right.
Well, as soon as he walks in and sees the actual ghost and realizes there's a ghost, starts screaming and freaking out and, you know, really not handling the situation very well. If this was your full-time job, if you really, truly were communing with ghosts, you would not be frightened at all. It'd be this is my job.
You would have actually seen him like, oh, yes, I have seen a ghost before. And
yes.
Not been like,
yeah. And so that lets us know and get in on the secret that, okay, yeah. You're nothing.
Yeah.
And he has to bring his daughter Kat along. And at first I'm like, why do they have to move there? Like, can't he just fly there as a business trip and get this done? But he is actually a super squatter. He doesn't have any money and he doesn't really have anywhere to call home. I mean, other than where he was living. But the way he... And I'm totally, this is just my making fun of this. The way that he makes his living is just by squatting on these haunted residences as long as he can and doing his work with the ghosts. And yes, so he goes to the home and he has to squat there because I don't know how long it's going to take to get this problem taken care of. Which is very unfortunate because he uproots and drags his teenage daughter along the way as he's trying to make his living, but she seems to be pretty okay with it and cool with it.
Well, okay, I want to go into the hard copy, like the show. Okay. And they're just like, he and his loner daughter, Kat. Like, what?
Thanks a lot.
I'm just like, I'm just thinking, why? What kind of a TV show would like throw somebody under the bus like that? Total loner, total weird.
Yeah.
And then like, she's like, today they're in Santa Fe. Tomorrow, who knows?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, and I'm thinking, oh, that poor girl. Like, no wonder she can't make friends.
Right.
Like, hard copy has totally tagged her as the loner. So, there you go.
Poor Kat. She's
poor
actually pretty
Kat.
Cool.
I think she's super cool.
She's probably one of the better characters in the movie.
She's actually quite normal.
Yes, exactly. Despite having been pegged as the loner.
Right.
But she moves to town and she starts making friends with different people. And it's just like, this is like classic 90s everything. Like,
yes.
This movie has very much, like, this was made in 1995. It very much has vibes of Hocus Pocus to me.
Yeah.
There's like a certain feel of these films that were in, like, you know, like Mighty Ducks. Like, they all just
yes.
have, like, they're kind of like slightly desaturated or like airy in
yeah.
far, like it's not like crisp and clean.
Yeah,
it's like the film just like feels like there's some sort of layer of something in between you and the camera because
yeah.
it's like very musky almost
uh-huh.
in a way. But yeah, and then she goes to the school and, you know, classic bully girl, but she was interesting to me, that bully girl, because she was like very prissy.
Yeah.
And, like, almost seemed too nice to be the bully.
Like, too well-kept, you mean?
Just, like, she seemed like a very sweet girl who was pretending and
yeah.
acting to be the snot.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, getting a truly just, like, stereotypical mean girl.
Right.
She seemed just like the girl who would normally play, like, the sweetheart. But
yeah.
she seemed miscast to me.
I get that. Yeah. And even the, like, the love interest, quote-unquote, he was...
complete nothing.
Yeah. He was like... hey, wait for me. Like, just
yeah.
such a doofus.
Yeah, yeah. So they move to the house, and like we said, very quickly realize that it's haunted and infested. And so then we introduce to Casper and the uncles.
Okay, so here is another couple of questions that came in. One, who are Fatso, Stinky, and Stretch? Who are they? Like, are they actually related to him as being his uncles? Or did they just, like, show up at some point in time and just say, hey, this kid is haunting this house. Why don't we haunt it, too? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't really feel like they are together. Mm-hmm. Like, they are family, really. And then also, okay, you're looking at who made those sleigh beds and customized them for each one of the ghosts? These are my questions. And why doesn't Casper have a sleigh bed? He just has like a normal iron frame.
Yeah.
Like it's like almost like a girl.
Yeah.
Room,
well, they mentioned that they're his uncles, right?
Right.
So there's that. And these characters are from the actual show or from the cartoons. Fatso, for example, debuted in the cartoon Fright from Wrong in 1957, likely the younger member of the Ghostly Trio. So, yes, they are very well-known characters in the Casper franchise. It doesn't say anything here in the Casper the Friendly Ghost wiki that he's the uncle.
This
but
is what we're doing with yes. our Saturday. Yes.
Yes, no reference to him being the uncle, but they made it seem easier. But yes, did they die at the same time? I'm interested to know about them.
Yeah.
Like were they just, because they're clearly adults, okay? Like, I'd understand maybe, like, teenagers living in the same room. You know, like, all right, all the teenage boys, you're in the same room or whatever.
Right.
But they're not teenagers. They're clearly adults. And so it's, like, weird. All these adults just jam-packed in this room and then they die. And then they
well,
die
it is
together.
A really big house. So it's probably one of those things, like, where the family just like, hey, we have one rich brother, so we might as well just move in with them. Hey, so...
So now we're stuck on this mysterious backstory.
It's a great backstory.
But the film does not want you to focus on that. Just like accept it for what it is. It's haunted. Boom. Move on. As with a lot of things in this film that you're supposed to just accept.
It is the 90s.
Yes.
Actually, funny story is J.J. Abrams was uncredited, but he did a rewrite of the script. So the humble beginnings of J.J. And I'm thinking, if only he knew 20 years later, he would be doing Star Wars.
Right?
That's amazing. So these are questions we should be asking J.J. No, we're not. We're not asking about
Star
Wars.
Next time I see him, I'll ask.
We're not talking about Star Wars, J.J. No, Casper.
Casper the Friendly Ghost, okay? Go back. These are important questions. We need to know.
We need to know.
Yeah, I didn't really love the uncles that much. I thought they were so obnoxious and annoying. And that's the whole point. They're supposed to be obnoxious and annoying, but they really are quite different from Casper. I really just don't like the uncles. I think they're very... I'm just not a big fan of the uncles. I feel that they're too... Not too obnoxious, but they're very obnoxious.
Very characterized.
And, you know, they're totally different than Casper, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I just don't like that they're there. They're so annoying and in the way and creating a problem.
Well, this is probably one of the main reasons why they cut their musical scene. They had a full scene.
Da, 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 da,
not
da,
even
da,
that one. No, it was called Lucky Enough to Be a Ghost. It was totally scripted and partially filmed. Maybe like it was filmed, but they didn't actually go in and
the
do the CGI because that would have cost like over another $1 million. And they're like, let's not do that. And I'm glad that they cut it. It's if you want to find it, I'll put the link. It's a YouTube video I found. I'll put the link in the show notes, but I'm really glad they cut it after watching it. I was like, this wasn't very good.
No,
it was fine, but it definitely worked better without it. So
yeah, we don't need singing just because you are a cartoon character or CGI or traditionally animated.
It would have been
does
the
not
only
mean
song
you have
too.
To sing.
Yeah, it would have been the only song in the whole show. So I'm glad that they decided against it.
So Dr. Harvey actually kind of makes a little bit of ground with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they start, like, accept him enough where they don't completely kick him out. I mean, but he's accepted where he's not totally freaked out. So they kind of, it's a symbiotic relationship. And he, you know, is trying to do his thing. Although we never actually see, like we see him like preparing for their sessions.
Yeah.
But I never actually see any of these sessions.
Well, like, that was one of the sessions. It was a session where he like he goes in and he's like talking to him. And
yeah.
So after this session, they're just like, yeah, let's not do a session anymore. Because they basically like throw him against couches and like everywhere. And so, yeah. He's like, the doctor's in. And it's like supposed to be set right before Kat comes in and says, hey, can I have a party?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we're assuming that he's trying to do some work. But again, he's just a squatter.
Yeah.
He's just a hack. He doesn't really do this for a living. He's kind of just making it work. And now he's like, crap. I'm here with the ghosts and I don't really want these ghosts here.
Well, like the entire time
I want to stay here because I like squatting on this sweet, sweet property.
Right. Well, the whole time he's trying to find his late wife. So he thinks that his late wife had unfinished business and so she's somewhere out there. And so obviously the uncles play on this like, oh, don't be talking about Amelia. She's the sweetest as they come. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, now we all know her. Like, we all throw parties, sell haunting stories. Yeah, the parties are kind of dead though. Great, great lines. But, you know, that whole part of it is his drive. So I get that. I'm cool with that. Once again, poor Kat, like she's being drugged through the fact that her dad has issues with his wife.
With his dead wife.
And she's just like, hey, I'm pretty okay. Like, yeah, it happened, but I'm trying to move on. And he just doesn't. So I was like, oof.
Yeah.
Poor girl.
Yeah, so he develops its very, very strong relationship with the ghosts where so much that they get him out of the house. Or he gets them out of the house, but they go drinking and partying.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this sets up a very strange part of the film where people are just totally okay killing each other. So Harrington, okay, so before we get to this part, there's the Up and Atom machine.
Yes.
Which, by the way, my dad was just this inventor and he figured out this machine and invented a machine where he can bring ghosts back to life.
Right.
Boom. Oh.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Okay, that's a thing that we have to accept now.
Yeah, yeah.
But, there's classic. Only enough potion for one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that puts some restraint on this. We can't just, like, put all the ghosts back. But Carrington suddenly gets it in her mind because this whole time she thinks there's this treasure in the manor. And that's really the only saving grace of the manor is that there's this treasure at Whipstaff Manor that she's going to get her hands on. And when they finally go down to the secret lair, she's, like, you own this place, but they have to be like super secretive and they're hiding in the shadows. And they go down there and they see, you know, Casper's like, oh, yeah, that's the vault. And they're like, oh, that's where it is. So she figures that the way
which is the whole reason why she wanted the ghost gone.
Yes.
And not destroy the whole thing.
Yes, exactly. Because she was going to tear down the manor, just get rid of it altogether, but then realize that, there could be treasure here. Mm-hmm. So hold on. Hold your horses.
Whipstaff at the treasure hole.
And so she realizes that, to get this treasure, the easiest way is just to have a ghost go in and pull it out and then, you know, exit. So, I'm going to kill my assistant. Like, literally murder him. And that's okay, because I have this machine. I've never seen it actually work before.
Right, right.
I don't know if it... I mean, she takes things totally on their word that... Okay, yep. That it's going to work. There's enough for one. Boom. I'm going to kill him and bring him back to life after I get the... Yeah. What the heck? She's totally warped. And then it goes totally south, and she ends up dying herself.
Which she's fine with, too, you know.
You know what? So Jared was watching the beginning of this with me, and then later I started on my own, and I, like, fast-forward, like... Well, I didn't fast-forward, but when he came back, it was, like, after this point. Like,
okay.
So a bunch of people were ghosts, and he was like, wait, how did they become a ghost? And so I had to, like, explain, well, she decided that she wanted to be a ghost, and so she killed herself, and because there's this machine that brings ghosts back to the dead.
So convoluted.
It sounded so stupid when I was saying that to him. He was like, what?
I mean, it works,
though. I'm like, it works when you watch it, but... Yeah, don't just for fun, guys. Like, try to explain the plot of Casper to somebody in like a minute or two.
Right, right.
And really get their reaction of like, what?
See, that's what's really funny, though, is this movie really could have been terrible.
Like, yeah,
it could have been
surprisingly okay.
I have great nostalgia for this movie. Yes. So Rosie Red, this is a great movie to me.
Yeah.
But it's still like, yeah, if you're looking at it super critically, it's not terrible. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's definitely acceptable. I've never not accepted any of the things they put out there. But you just think, wow, this really could have been terrible. in the wrong hands, with the wrong script, with the wrong, like, just, oh my gosh.
And the CGI characters are actually pretty good.
I thought they were
great. For the very first, I mean,
the whole hand thing that everybody, it's like the quintessential moment.
Are you a ghost? Oh, can't touch you. It's actually interesting because this is the first film credited to have the main character be CGI. And it's interesting because this is 95. So just 6 months later, Toy Story comes out that not only is the first fully animated CGI film, but has plenty of main characters.
Right.
So this barely, you know, beat Toy Story out. And the
good
characters are good. I don't feel like, yes, it's 20 years ago. I don't look at it and think, oh, my eyes, they burn. Yeah. Like, the animation, it's not terrible.
The goggles do nothing.
It's pretty decent, so that's good. So then, okay, everyone's ghosts. So the dad dies because he gets all tipsy and falls backwards, which just happens to be construction outside of the bar.
Which was so weird to me. I was like, is this bar just like out?
How are people getting in? The back door?
Because there's somebody else in there.
Yeah.
Like, is he already dead? I don't know. This is weird.
So the dad dies. And I actually like that twist, even though it's like pretty sad and happens pretty quick, because it puts some pressure on
Casper
and what they have to do, because again, there's only enough potion for one,
right?
And so they were this close to bringing Casper back from the dead, which this has been his whole life. Maybe that this is the whole reason he's wanted a friend,
right?
Just so he could bring someone. He doesn't actually care about Cat. He just wanted to bring someone down there so they could push the button and pull the switch and do the lever.
How conniving.
So he could come back. I mean,
friendly, no. Manipulative, come on now. No, he's good.
So then she realizes the dad is died, and she's already lost one parent.
Yeah.
And this is the second, which just conveniently happened right before and appears right before. And so, of course, he says, okay, come on, Dr. Harvey. And it's very strange because Dr. Harvey almost says, within seconds of being a ghost, lost his memory of Kat.
Yeah.
Which,
why doesn't Carrington lose her memory?
That's what I'm saying. Like, she has 100% recollection of everything, of why she killed herself, of why she's there. Totally coherent. So I don't appreciate that, because they make the dad totally aloof, which is adding even more emotional tension to the moment where he doesn't remember me.
Doesn't remember.
But Carrington remembers everything. And
oh, yeah. I think that might have just been her sheer will. She knew why she was dying. Like, died for a purpose.
That was her unfinished business. That stupid gold or treasure or whatever it is.
Whatever she thought it was going to be. Like, is treasure really that important?
You know, I mean, it's really not. And for just a baseball glove.
Well, yeah, especially just for a baseball glove.
If she's a ghost, she should have put her hand in there and,
like, just look and see what
it
is.
Give it a little peek.
But the thing is, like, that vault was not that big.
Yeah.
And so you would think that, I mean, if it were like a Scrooge McDuck vault, okay. You can we can look into that. But this looks like just like a small little, it's not even, I wouldn't even call it a vault. It was a safe, you know?
Yes.
And so it's like, how much could actually be in there? Even if it's like a whole chunk of gold, you know, or a whole bunch of diamonds or something like that, it's still probably not going to be that much.
You know what? Got it.
Speak the truth.
Speak to Miss Carrington. I get it.
Priorities, lady. Yeah. Now, I felt like everything was good through that. Once again, I feel everything was super acceptable. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, this whole movie is totally acceptable, especially for the 90s goodness that was in it.
I love when they have the party.
Yes. And some of those costumes, like, okay, at the very end, when you have, like, the sunflower kid, yes. like running out. Whoa.
I'm like, oh, wow. Before Halloween became totally sexualized and yeah. just like, how can I get the most scantily clad outfit possible? Like, these are pretty neat
these
costumes.
These are awesome costumes.
Which, then, like, this is a weird
teacher.
This is a weird situation where I like they just invite themselves to her house, you know,
well, yeah,
to
yeah,
do
yeah,
the party.
She's just like, how about we do it over there? And she's like, I guess.
Yeah, when they find out that's where she lives.
Right. But yeah, she didn't like say, hey, let's do it at
no,
my place.
They said,
no, somebody else is like, this girl's got a crazy awesome pad. Let's do it there.
Yeah.
Like,
so they all just roll up and it's like the teachers too. And yeah, so they start having their sweet party.
We're here. Yeah. The sunflower kid at the very end running out was probably one of my favorites. The other one, well, then you have them trying to run through as the ghost.
Yeah.
Like the on top of the double decker.
You're gonna totally freak.
Yeah, like, no.
Please, you're not scary.
You're not.
You're just a 12-foot bedsheet. with makeup.
Good makeup, though. Give him that. I thought that would... If somebody showed up like that at my Halloween party, I'd be like, props to you, man. Props. Should we... Let's go back a little bit and talk about Kat and Casper's relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one thing that I liked about Kat and Casper's relationship is that as you go through and they like show Casper's backstory and they show, you know, his toy room and, you know, him.
That's first... another thing that makes him very juvenile is that his room is just all toys.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He's like still to that point in life.
At 12 years old? I mean, I don't know.
Does we know he's 12? Does he say he's 12?
I don't know. But even like... It seemed like all of those seem more like an 8-year-old type thing.
Right.
And so it's like, this is one of those questions. Like, do ghosts age? Like, what is, I don't understand. But anyway, like, it was really cute how she's trying to help him remember and trying to help him. So they do create a really good bond there. And
which
like,
she does a fantastic job cleaning up and spiffing up that room.
Yeah.
It was a total wreck disaster and somehow it looks like it got a brand new paint job.
Yeah. And like
not a dust speck in sight.
How long would it have taken just to dust that one room?
A long time.
A
but it made
really
it seem like she
time.
Got it done in just a few hours.
Like an hour.
Yeah,
you know,
no worries.
NBD. But I liked their whole relationship. And you know, as
they did a good job of making it seem real and not necessarily creepy, but that they truly became friends.
Right.
And that she was helping him and he was helping
she
her.
She did such a good job with basically as they're filming this, they're talking to baseballs or like
yeah,
they're not talking to anything. But she did such a good job at making it real. I was very impressed. Go, Christina. At the party, Casper has already done his good deed of giving up his humanity.
The dad is back.
The dad is back. And
the party's here.
The party's popping.
She's like, ah, you're here. Okay, just hold on a second.
Just don't leave this room.
Yeah.
Stay in the hall. Stay in the front, in the foyer. You're cool. Okay, why did the mom come back in red?
Exactly. I don't understand the symbolism of that.
Like, maybe were they just trying to be different? Like, color-wise?
I feel they were trying to be different. Like, because you would think white.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Like, are they just trying to not be religious? Is that what they're thinking? I don't know. Like, does...
Red almost gives the connotation of,
like
the
devil.
Devil.
I know.
Like, whoa.
It was
she
weird.
She was not this angel that you thought she was. She's actually a spirit demon.
I know. I mean...
not really.
No, but...
I think it was just to, like, give a fun spin on it. Like, it's
I
not
guess.
What you expect.
Yeah.
Her dress almost was like a red version of Elsa's dress. Where it has
yes.
the sheer top and the sheer sleeves. I'm like, oh.
I 20
see,
years later.
See what you did there.
I see what you did there. She was a cool mom,
she
I guess.
She was real.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything off or weird about her. She wasn't a ghost.
So, okay, from the religion of Casper, if you finish your business, then you still get to have, like, a full body. You know,
yeah.
you still have skin, basically,
uh-huh.
and you're not nebulized.
Yep.
Okay, good to know. And it is those who are lost and still wandering, looking for their lost business, is when they turn into nebulous creatures.
I really do like the point where they flip it on Carrington, where they help her realize that you got your treasure right now, so therefore your unfinished business is finished.
Have unfinished business.
Yeah. And then poof.
Like that was like a the bars of light that shine through. No, no, no. It's like this is the spookiness.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool too.
One thing about this film is that it kind of moves very quickly. Mm-hmm. Like the threat from the time that she is, you know, trying to kill the assistant, ends up being dead, to tormenting them, to ultimately dying again and poofing into nothingness is very quick.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's constantly there haunting them and then they really move on and there's no threat at that point. Even the uncles aren't around during the party, which was like quite. Whoever struck that bargain,
I know,
was good, because they would have, you know, created something, quite a problem. But yeah, the party's happening on its own, and you know what? Casper gets something for doing a good deed. And it almost felt like the good fairy to Pinocchio in that scene.
Yeah.
You know, where she's sitting there talking to him. Yeah, exactly.
For 10 minutes. No, for 3 minutes.
Yeah, right?
For the extension of this song.
It's like, until midnight? Cinderella got till midnight? Cinderella wasn't 12.
Right. So that's where they says 12. Yeah. But like he's literally, it's 3 minutes, one song.
Yeah.
And half of it is him walking down a staircase.
Yes.
And so they do get to levitate. So that's pretty cool. And then he kisses her.
Well, so here's another weird thing, is that he comes down the steps. Then he goes up to Kat, and she's like, whoa.
Who are you?
Who are you? And she's just dancing with him. And then she's flying with him. And then he finally like gives this little,
can I keep you?
Can I keep you thing. And then she's like, oh, this is Casper.
Right.
And I'm like, who did you think he was? You just thought he was some hot guy. And you're like, hey. Okay. And she's like totally into him. Like if you go back and watch that scene under the, like she doesn't know who this is. Like the way she acts is so weird.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
But hey.
And then she realizes it's Casper. And she's like, oh. But like, hello. She was just all for that little piece of hotness. She didn't care who he was. Stranger. He walked up and swept her off his feet.
That's how every girl in that time was. Every girl loved that kid. He came down. Oh, and he comes down and is like almost a pirate looking shirt. Like, it's awesome.
A pirate shirt. Indeed, indeed.
Every now and then. I have a story about
that
song.
So 90s.
No, I have a story. So this was years later. So maybe 10 years later, at least 5 to 8, somewhere around there. I just wake up and I am singing this song. And I haven't seen Casper in so many years. And so I could not remember where it was from. But for whatever reason, for like a week, I was singing this song every single day. And so there was one day where I was like, eh, let's watch some movies. So I had like, I was working as a receptionist for a bit. And basically it was most of the time you didn't get a lot of calls. And so you could just like have a movie going in the background and then you could like push pause when you actually had to talk to people. So I was watching quite a few movies at the time. And so I was like, hey, Casper, I haven't seen that in a while. So I'll add that to my list that one day. And then it got to this part and that song started and I was like, what? That's it. Oh my gosh. And so I was so obsessed with it after that. I'm like, ah, this song was meant for me for whatever reason.
That's so funny.
What?
Every now and then
you find a special friend who never lets us down. I'll make a wish for you. Jordan Hill, I think, is the name of the girl.
Was it a pop?
It was poppy.
Song? Did it like...
Oh, I don't know if it charted.
I don't see. I'm trying to think. I'm like, is this a song that I know because I've seen Casper too many times? Or is this a song that like I legitimately have heard on the radio?
I'm thinking it's Casper. I'm pretty positive it's just Casper.
Okay. Well, there you go. Because I feel like, so back in the 90s, the Saturday morning or the Saturday afternoon movies, do you remember that?
Like, oh, yeah.
The local station would just put random movies on, and I feel like this one was frequently in the rotation for the Saturday movie.
Oh, especially during October.
Lineup. Yeah, and so I feel like I've seen this quite a bit as a result.
I've seen this so many times, which... When we decided to do this, even before we decided to do this, like several weeks ago, I was like, Can we do Casper on the? I was wanting to ask if we could do this.
You didn't
movie.
Even ask.
No,
we
I didn't
talk
even
about
ask.
This.
No,
I just put it on there because I was like, oh yeah, that movie.
Like I didn't even ask, but like a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh, I really want to watch Casper right now. So obviously, this movie to me has great replay value, and yes. It has a very nice rating in my heart. Mm-hmm. Critical, probably not that great, but I mean, still, it's a good thing. So, one last question I did say is, now that Carrington is dead, Kat and her dad are apparently continue to squat forever?
Well, yeah, that's another very confusing thing, because they're currently squatting. They did not get paid for their job. They will not get paid for their job. And just because they're squatting on this property does not mean that they own the property.
Right.
But it's kind of just assumed that, like, this is our place. But does no one else want this because it's haunted?
Therefore, it is still haunted, yeah.
And they're the only ones who can deal with the ghosts. So many questions.
But it also...
It's not theirs.
No, it's not. But do you know what? Casper can somehow brings food. Like, they have actual food.
Every morning.
Every
yes.
morning. So this is a squatting
stealing.
Home. They're stealing this home. Free bed and breakfast. That is amazing. In Maine.
Yeah. Yes.
They should really just turn it into a bed and breakfast.
Ooh, that would be spooky.
That would be awesome. Heart, I want that house.
All right. So let's give our reviews.
Okay. Looking at this at a critical eye, no, it isn't perfect. No, it doesn't, it's not the best movie in the world, but it was great for that time. And it, like I said before, has good replay value for me. And it's acceptable in all the ways that count. And so I'm going to give this 3.5 stars on a... I'd like to give it 4, though.
It's your review.
Okay, I'm giving it 4 stars just because of the rosy red nostalgia that adds to it. Like, if I'm doing a real critical, it's going to be, 3.5 or so. Mm-hmm. But rosy red goggles make it 4.
Okay. So this movie is fun to watch. I feel like if you grew up with this movie, then it definitely has a special place in your heart, or maybe not so
maybe
much.
Not.
But if you were a girl in the 90s who watched this movie, it has a special place in your
you
heart.
You totally had a crush on him.
The life, when he turns into a human. That was a thing.
That was a
Trust
thing.
Me, that was a thing.
It was a thing.
But as far as I was watching it this time, there were just a lot of holes and cracks that I thought were pretty funny. But nonetheless, you just kind of accept them and move on. And the film kind of just owns it and says, yeah, it's a bit ridiculous, but here we go. And it's not terrible at the end of the day. It's really not just so embarrassing to watch. And
no.
One of the writers had mentioned that she doesn't like this film because it comes off very dated to her. And I didn't really feel that it was... It feels super dated in a way. So,
I mean, there is amazing amount of 90s goodness, but it's not... dated in a negative sense, I don't think so.
So I'm just going to give it teetering between 3 and 3.5 stars. So I'll give it 3 stars.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into our voicemails. We have some reviews of the My Little Pony, the movie, in
Ooh.
Addition to some reviews of Casper. So here we go.
Hey there, Rotoscopers. This is Jared with my review of My Little Pony, the movie. I give you this film 3.5 stars. I think I enjoyed it, but think you guys were saying, there was a bit too much going on there, Wasn't a whole lot done to accommodate people who were checking out the movie without any previous experience with the franchise. And then, all the Hollywood voice actors just kind of crowded the thing up. It just seemed like there was too much going on and not enough emphasis put on any one thing. I think they probably could have dropped Capper or the parrots or both and put more emphasis on the hippogriffs and things would have turned out a lot nicer. I think probably the best thing they did was how they worked with the villains. I enjoyed the Storm King. Tempest was, of course, pretty cool, although, like you guys were saying, could have used a little more little more depth to her whole broken horn thing. And yeah, it would have been nice if could have had some more epic battle sequences, not have the princesses get sidelined for like the umpteenth time. And yeah, just could have been better, but 3.5 would be my rating. Anyway, talk to you next time.
Hi, Rotoscopers. This is Chad. Just tuning in an audio review for the My Little Pony film. I did leave a comment on the podcast page, but I thought I'd add a little bit, as I really enjoyed this film. It was very reminiscent of a storyline, I think, that would have been in the fourth season of the show, and I think that's actually partly why I enjoyed it. You guys talked about kind of the predictability of it, but I really enjoyed that aspect of it, too. And it was just, for me, it was an overall feel-good film. It kind of reminded me of what I really enjoyed in the earlier seasons of the show. And I do think that if they had released it back near the end of season 4 or, you know, maybe at the start of season 5 rather than, I think we're on season 8 now. I think that's the upcoming season. It probably would have been more well received. Although I do hear it's doing pretty well so far. So, yeah, I thought the My Little Pony film was an excellent and well acted out film. Oh, and the music. I loved the music. I mean, I do agree that the soundtrack is very, very strong. I think my favorite song is kind of hard to decide. I really love the opening song. I just love the feel-goodness of the Festival of Friendship. And then it kind of goes to Emily Blunt's villainous song, which I think was done very, very well. I didn't even know she could sing. So yeah, it was a great film. I loved it, and I'd give it 3.5 stars. Because yeah. And frankly, here's a question for you guys. Would you like to see a second theatrical film? Because I think that if this did well enough, I'd be up for a sequel. I would love to see a theatrical sequel to this. Maybe with characters from the later seasons, like Starlight Glimmer, or you know, maybe more progression on Tempest. I personally hope they really bring her into the main series. Anyway, that's my true sense on this. Thanks, and look forward to future podcasts. Peace out.
Hello, this is Alex calling in to give my review of Casper. I remember Morgan mentioning on a previous episode that she loves this film, so I'm sure that she is looking forward to this episode. It's been about 10 years since I have seen Casper, but from what I can remember, I enjoyed it. The animation is very good and still held up. The acting is also, by and large, very good. And the voice acting on the ghosts was pretty decent as well. I did have issues with the story. I felt that it was overly complex, especially for a family film. One interesting fact about this film is that in the TV special Toy Story at 20 to Infinity and Beyond, a poster for this film can be seen hanging in the office of one of the crew members. I don't know if this person worked on both films or if he admired the computer animation on the ghosts, but I thought that this appearance of the poster was interesting. Overall, I give this film 3 stars out of 5. It's not perfect, but I enjoyed it.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us for this episode of the Animation Addicts Podcast. We're glad to have you on the comfy couch with us as we went back down Nostalgia Lane and talked about the 90s classic Casper, or Maybe if you aren't a girl in the 90s, it's not a classic for you, but that's okay. That was our Halloween spooktacular episode. Our next episode is going to be Mary and Max. It's a patron pick, so we're excited to dive into that movie. Be sure to send us your voicemail reviews of that film by going to rotoscopers.com/voicemails or calling us at 406-646-6575. Also, just a heads up for our patrons, our Roto Rewatch for November is going to bring us into Frozember as we rewatch Frozen, which is pretty exciting. It's been about 4 years since Frozen came out, so we will be doing another review of Frozen and have plenty and lots of things to say. So if you're a patron, that comes out and drops at the beginning of November. And if you're not a patron, you can look into being one at rotoscopers.com/Patreon. We give all the cool, fun perks that you get, and we list them there. Thanks to everyone who are patrons. They make this show possible. And until next time, I'm Morgan Stradling.
And I'm Chelsea Robson.
And we are the Rotoscopers.
Bud, whatever. So, I don't know. That's my horrible Clint Eastwood impression that I'm probably going to cut.
Carrington, because okay. We need to set up her role in this to set up the other characters.
She is the point of reference.
Who is she? Because her voice is just so grumbly and smoker. I'm like, wow, I don't know how I feel about this.